number two out of bounds. William Quaggamus, Kelly Gramlich. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Monahan Company Real Estate. More than a decade in business serving Clemson, the Tri-County area. Like them on Facebook or stop by the office, 422 College Avenue. I use Monahan. Could not have been more pleased with my experience. Call them today, 639-1188, 639-1188. I just watched the second touchdown again. We're going to get to the defense. We've been talking the quarterback. I know Ben Milstead was fit to be tied about how bad the defense was. There were some things the defense did that I can't, like people ask me, and I'm going, I don't know. In fact, the I don't know was a lot of my response. We had our 10-year high school reunion on Saturday, which was really fun. We had it right here in Clemson, which some of the perks of being going to high school in Clemson is that you got, and now there's like an adultish bar, study hall, where we just went to the rooftop. It's adultish. It's not a college bar.
It was adultish because it was fall break.
I'm saying it's not a college bar like Triple T's or TD's or some of the, like those are college bars.
You get the older crowd.
Yeah.
Like the seniors.
It's more of a classy, you know, it's more of a classy place. So you go up to the rooftop and have a little shindig. And we had a great, great time. Love seeing people I hadn't seen for a long time. And a lot of fans of the show, a lot of Kelly Gramlich fans there. I'm telling you. So all of, to the class of 07 Daniel High School, a lot of people listening right now.
Those are my people. The class of 07.
A lot of your husbands or wives that are listening. We heard from you from all over the country and people from Cali and Michigan and people from everywhere coming in and giving
stuff.
Love to the show. Really appreciated that. I gave a speech. People cried. It was amazing.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't. I didn't because I felt it in my heart, but I was very stoic.
You were probably emotionally fragile, as all of us were.
I was all right.
And so maybe you had some tears.
You know why I was all right? Because before the thing got going, Miami won at the end of the game. Boop.
What show called
won.
That? Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I got both of those in a You Pick 'em. And guess who's tied for first in a You Pick 'em challenge? Oh, man. Your boy is in first. Holla at your boy.
If I had just picked Oklahoma, I'd be tied with you for
yes,
first.
You would. Yes,
I'm
you
one
would.
Game back.
Yes, you, I know you were upset, but yeah, we did
some
call
of us,
Miami.
I have standards, and I have rules. And Texas almost won that game. It was a great game.
If Auburn just holds a 20-point lead.
Yeah, what the heck with Auburn? All of us, every single one of us lost the Auburn game.
What was that?
And then, of course, I picked Florida.
People were so upset with me. Well, I did too.
Oh, you did?
People were so upset with me. And we're getting right to Clemson 45 and Chris coming up in just a second. People were so upset with me, Kelly, that frankly, I tweeted that Auburn was good at like 20-0. Then I go to the reunion. I'm not intimately watching the game. You know, we've got it on a TV somewhere, and I'm just seeing a thing slip away. And everyone's like, oh, well, why didn't you tweet about blah, 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 blah? Because I wasn't just sitting there with my phone in my hand for 3 hours actively tweeting the game, you nimrods. Let me enjoy a day with my high school friends.
I did see that tweet, and then I kind of chuckled when LSU came back.
Because they were really good then, and they have been good all season. They blew a 20-point lead. Get that out of here. Let's go to Clemson 45, who's up with us next on the Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Clemson 45?
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to say, you know, this loss here, I mean, I've been a Clemson fan through thick and thin, you know. And you know we've had a lot of bad years. You may have had 5 years in a row we lost to South Carolina. But this loss really hurt. And it was weird, man. It was a weird loss. It's like nothing was clicking. And also, you know, I want to say, you know why Clemson fans are so upset about this? Because on a national level, we never get the respect. And you know Paul Feinbaugh with his big old flappy ears is just laughing, chucking it up. You know, we got to eat that. So, you know, I think that's why we're hurting so bad about this loss.
I understand that, Clemson 45, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. The thing about Clemsoning that he said on Saturday morning was he's just a disaster. Like, you have to know. One thing I want for this show, and I say this as honestly as we possibly can. Kelly, I know you agree with this. We never want to be the show that just feeds the fodder. We never want to be the show that just makes people mad for no reason. What that guy does with his shtick is just find ways to irk people for no reason. With the fact that you would even throw out Clemsoning. In fact, this is a great time. Before we get to, let's get to Chris, and then you have some numbers from the last time Clemson lost a road game. Let's get to that for people who want to bring up Clemsoning for some reason.
Should we be saying this word?
You know what Clemsoning is, Paul? Clemson is beating Alabama's brains in and playing a almost perfect game in a national championship game and winning it the last second. That's what Clemsoning is, you idiot.
What network did he say this on?
The SEC network.
That explains all of it.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
He's just trying to get his core group fired up. We know what you're doing, Paul.
And Oklahoma lost a backup quarterback at Iowa State. Nobody's coining terms. All I'm saying is that word is dead. It's completely dead. Paul Feinbaum, the only reason he wants to bring it up is because Alabama fans are like, with their three teeth, they're like, yeah, Paul, attaboy, you get them, and we're winning by 100 and gold, tied all over everybody, we're doing it, Paul. And then the Clemson people get really upset. That's the reason attaboy, Paul, get them, they don't have what Bama has, Paul.
That was great. The one thing... Okay. Of all the media members that commented on Clemson's loss this weekend, the only one that really didn't mention the overall context of the loss, like, I don't know, starting quarterback getting hurt, all that stuff, was Paul. So just you know, keep that in mind.
Kirk Herbstreit.
Herbstreit, yeah. Pollock, all those guys. Again,
they gave a lot of credit to Syracuse.
They were surprised, and they weren't trying to sugarcoat it. It was a bad loss, but they were giving you the context. Kelly Bryant's hurt. Syracuse played really well. Sometimes these things happen. And that's your point, Kwok. I mean, why can't Soonering get off the ground? Because they do this every single year. I'm a champion of Soonering.
I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Educate yourself, Paul.
Chris and Conway's up with us next. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Oh, ain't much going on. Just sitting here listening and enjoying the show for the most part.
Thank you.
I will say that I'm very disappointed in a lot of the fan base. I'm not sure how many games that Dabo and the coaching staff would have to win or how many championships they have to win before they don't get questioned about every little thing. I'm even more disappointed in people that are upset because Dabo shook somebody's hand and congratulated what proved to be a worthy opponent. I mean, that's just, you know, I hear all the time that Dabo's doing it right. He's doing it the right way, and he's not just coaching football. He's making men up there at Clemson, and I believe that. But yet the first time that there's some adversity and Dabo handles it the way that I was raised to handle it and the way that I would raise my children to handle any loss, then people are questioning whether he cares enough about the game. I don't get that at all. These same people are the same ones that about a month ago when South Carolina players didn't shake the hands of whoever it was they were playing, that everybody jumped all over South Carolina players because they would be such bad sports as that. And now today, they're acting the same way. I made my mind up a long time ago that I would not let a football game decide whether I was going to have a good day or a good weekend. And even more than that, I decided a long time ago I wouldn't give anybody like Paul Feinbaum or anybody else enough control over me that they could decide what my mood was going to be or not. And just my last point on the game, everybody's wondered if Dabo put in the player when he was hurt. I don't know. I give him benefit of the doubt because he sees them every day. I do know I've heard a lot of people question why they call the plays that they do or why ETN it and the starting running back. Well, ask Zarek Cooper this morning if he had rather had C.J. Fuller blocking for him or ETN. There's a whole lot more goes into these ball games than what I know about. I just know what I've seen since Dabo's been there. Makes me real proud most days to be a Clemson fan. I'll leave y'all with that. Y'all do a great job, by the way. Go Tigers.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it. Chris bringing flames into the broadcast today.
We need that rationality, Chris. We appreciate that.
All right, I'm looking right now. Some of the decisions that people make, you know that it wasn't a play call, all right?
Can I ask you this real quick?
Yeah.
And to Chris's point, I'm just kind of posing this question.
Okay.
Dabo, like I've said on the show, he's untouchable to a certain extent. He won a national title. Does that mean you can't critique at all? I don't know what the balance there is.
I do think that we have to understand what the words mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's not saying of course you trust him. In the end, you trust what Dabo Sweeney's doing. Bottom line, I don't care what the situation is. I trust the guy. That being said, for the sake of conversation, we can at least discuss some of the things that happened.
Well, we speculate on some of those things. And here's one thing that I will say. We have to be careful that we don't misunderstand the lingo of the program, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One game season, nameless, faceless, all that stuff. It's clear that one game season wasn't this. Otherwise, to borrow from the example I use in hour one, you can check it out via podcast if you missed it. He's going to go to his closer in the ninth. He's going to go, like Joe Maddon didn't go to Wade Davis because he was waiting for the save. He didn't put his best players in there. He didn't give his team the best chance to win today because he wanted to make sure that everyone knew that Kelly Bryant was the starting quarterback and he's going to live or die with his starting quarterback and all this stuff. He does things with the program in mind. The nameless faces one-game season, it revolves around the players.
But we know Kelly Bryant's the starting quarterback, right. Even if, but he's hurt. That's the thing.
Here's
it's not like he's losing his job.
Here's what we know, all right? And this is where Dabo, I think, is probably trying. Who's the second-best quarterback? The most talented passer in
Will
the whole
Spires.
In the whole the most talented, but not with the decision making yet.
No.
My guy Will Spires. I was like, ah! Like I let out a squeal. Actually, that was internal because my goddaughter was sleeping over
I
there.
Wish I wish you all could have seen what Quan just did.
Legitimately, it was like Macaulay Culkin at Home Alone. I was like, oh no, what are you doing? Are you serious? You're throwing a ball. You knew then that they weren't going to get the ball back. Even though, like, you knew they should get the ball back, you knew they weren't going to get the ball because you don't get second chances.
On
after
a scale of one
mark.
To tease doll, it was kind of like an eight.
I mean, it really it was. It was like a what are you doing? Throwing the ball right there, pin them deep. They're going to run it three times. You get the ball to 50, and maybe just maybe you luck into a touchdown somewhere. But all right, before we go to all the Davids, we have all the Davids on hold right now. Can you tell us? The things that happened last time Clemson, the things that were true the last time Clemson lost a true road game.
Okay, just to put it in perspective, because yes, this streak ended, but I think that we should acknowledge it and celebrate it and just kind of give it its due. So the last time Clemson lost a true road game, meaning a game on an opponent's home field, because obviously Bama, we're not counting that was a neutral site.
Neutral, yeah.
Was November 15th, 2014 at Georgia Tech. You might remember that game. Deshaun got hurt. Pick sixes happened. That game.
Yeah,
that was 1,063 days ago from Friday. And these were five things that were true the last time Clemson lost a game on an opponent's home field, which was nearly 3 years ago.
All right.
Stephen Curry had yet to win an NBA title or an MVP. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
The San Antonio Spurs were the reigning NBA champs, by the way. Go Spurs, go.
Well, that was the past.
That was a long time ago. Back 3 years ago, the last time Clemson lost a true road game, Baylor was 8-1 and had just defeated OU and Norman.
They're 0-6.
Long time ago, people.
Baylor's never winning again.
Long time ago.
And they deserve it.
Hunter Renfrow was still a walk-on.
Okay.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
Chad Morris was Clemson's offensive coordinator. It's a long time ago. And finally, my favorite, Travis Etienne was not old enough to drive. Travis Etienne was 15 years old the last time Clemson lost a true road game.
You are kidding me.
I actually contacted one of my sources in the football department to get his birthday to double check. I don't have his date, but I know he was born in 1999.
It seems like a breach of confidentiality.
He was 15. And I do want to tell you this. Two things that are the exact same since Clemson lost a true road game.
All right.
Guess who Clemson's leading tackler was at Georgia Tech on November 15th, 2014?
November
14th or 15th, 2014.
Ryan Carter.
Dorian O'Daniel.
You got to be kidding.
I'm dead serious.
Are you serious?
I was shocked when I saw that.
Wow.
So Dorian O'Daniel was Clemson's leading tackler the last time they lost on the road. And then finally, your favorite stat, Quack.
Vorp.
November 15th, 2014. The last time Clemson lost on the road, JT Barrett was starting at quarterback for Ohio State 3 years ago.
Unbelievable. Thank you for
just
that,
some
Kelly.
Perspective just for you guys.
I like it. We got time for one more before we hit our next break. David is up with us next. Hey, David, what's going on?
How are y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. Hope you're doing well.
Doing fine, thank you. My thing is the last caller really just got everything I wanted to say. It's just time for us as Clemson fans to be proud of what we've got and be excited for where this program's going. And I know, as Kelly said, you know, we've got to acknowledge it. But it's time, man. We've got a long way to go in this season, and I'm sure Dabo and his staff are planning and working right now just on what they've got to do to improve, and we just have to support them and not just drag this program down.
You know, David, I understand that thought process. I do think that obviously the program is going to be fine. And I don't think the way that people have, at least on our show, I don't think the way that people have addressed it is dragging them down in any way. I do think there are some legitimate, would you agree with that? There are some legitimate frustrations and some legitimate wonderings and musings that people have about what the heck happened and why it happened.
Yes.
I feel like that's okay to address those things, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I hate to lose. I'm very competitive, but, you know, it is what it is, and we've
sure.
got to move on.
I understand, David. I understand. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Y'all do a great job.
Thank you. I understand the move on part. There are some things that don't make sense to me, though. Like even me, as someone who I would like to think, because of my background and the things I've been trained to do, that I've watched the game a little bit differently than most people, there are some things that I don't know, that I don't understand, that I just need to talk through with some other people. So this has actually been
good
for me, too.
That's why we're here.
Like this,
it's a therapy session.
It is legitimate therapy. Well... It's illegitimate therapy,
Wait,
but it's
no.
good for everybody.
We are not claiming to be licensed therapists.
We're not.
Please don't think that.
This is a problem phone line. If you have a problem. Speaking of problems, the SCDMV has a more convenient way for South Carolina residents to confirm if you have the documents necessary to buy a real ID driver's license online in the future. You're going to need these next year, people, or you're not going to be able to travel, right? Is that true? You're not going to be able to travel. Kelly, you travel all over the fruited plain and around the world. You travel internationally. You like the South Carolina driver's license is dead, right? You need that real ID?
It's close to death.
Okay.
So you need to go get it fixed.
So here's what you got to do. You got to visit scdmvonline.com, search real ID, and begin the transaction. You got to enter your license number, social security number, and date of birth to see if you've got required documents on file. If you do, that's great. If you've got good standing or your driving privileges, have a regular license, you're good. If not, you got to go to a SCDMV branch now. And bring them proof of ID, proof of Social Security, two proofs of current address, and proof of all legal name changes. You've got to do all that in order to be able to start the process to get a real ID. For more information, follow the SCDMV on Twitter and Facebook. SCDMVonline.com is a website. You can also email questions at realid@scdmv.net. Hour two continues. We will get to your phone calls. A couple of lines just open up. You can get in. 654-ROAR. So much more to talk about, including... We have been way too soft on the defense today, and that's really what the story is, to be quite honest. It's sexy to talk about Kelly Bryant. It's not as sexy to talk about how bad the defense was, and we will discuss that next. Stay with us.
Mr. Clemson, Eric McLean invites you to join him November 16th for the 9th annual Big Brothers Big Sisters Pep Rally. Join Big Mac along with his friends and former Tiger players Jay Guillermo, Travis Blanks, Jadar Johnson, and Rod McDowell. This year, the rally is at the Revel Events Center, formerly the Handlebar. It's where Stone Avenue and Wade Hampton Boulevard meet next to Canal Insurance. They'll be joined by former Gamecock players Brandon Bennett, John Stamper, and Toby Cates. This is a great event to help raise money and awareness for a great cause, Big Brothers and Big Sisters of the Upstate. As always, there'll be music, tailgate, food and drink from area restaurants, and memories from past games, as well as silent and live auctions. For tickets and information, call 242-0676 or go online at bbbspeprally.com. The 9th Annual Clemson Carolina Pep Rally, November 16th, Revel Events Center, Greenville. If you are in need of eye care and would like a more personal experience, consider Westminster Vision. We are locally owned and staffed with three convenient locations to serve you in Clemson, Pendleton, and of course, Westminster. We offer a large selection of eyewear and all types of medical care, even on Saturdays. So for quick, reasonable service you can trust, call us for an appointment at 646-3535.
Anything that's made just for you is a perfect fit, right? Like a tailored suit. It fits your measurements, no one else's. That same kind of fit is exactly what Engineered Sleep strives for. A mattress made just for you, built to your sleeping patterns and habits. What could be more important than a good night's rest? Engineered Sleep wants to make it a perfect night's rest. If after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process. Learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there is no middleman. factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking up your mattress instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
Elkmont Trading Company in Clemson is having their annual summer clearance sale. Your locally owned outfitter, women's boutique, shoe store, men's store, and fly fishing shop is clearing out the racks to make room for new fall arrivals. From candles and dresses to tents and fly fishing gear, Elkmont has it. End summer with a great deal on a stand-up paddleboard or kayak from Jackson, Perception, or Wilderness Systems. Elkmont has the area's best selection and rentals for you to try before you buy. And folks, make sure you stop in and enjoy Elkmont's on-site craft beer bar and restaurant, featuring 16 taps, serving locally brewed craft beer and great food. Huge savings on your favorite clothing and gear, craft beer and excellent food. All that's missing is you. Elkmont is located at the Highway 93 exit off Highway 123 across from Bojangles. And remember, folks, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson.
Right now is the time to start your search for your perfect Ford vehicle at Anderson Ford on Clemson Boulevard. The Anderson Ford Matchmaker Program provides you with an inventory specialist who'll put you and your family in the perfect Anderson Ford vehicle. They'll listen to your needs and make sure your new or certified pre-owned Anderson Ford is a perfect match. Anderson Ford, doing business differently. Anderson Ford, 3900 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Online at AndersonFordSC.com.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color? What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson, your independent local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
The Clemson Area Chamber of Commerce invites you to play in its annual fall golf tournament, October 24th, presented by Clemson Downs. It'll be at Boscobel Golf Club with a captain's choice format with teams of four and a 1 p.m. shotgun start. Participate in a raffle drawing, poker challenge, and award ceremony. Proceeds will benefit two local charities, The Parenting Place and Upstate SPCA. Registration is required. Call the Clemson Area Chamber at 864-654-1200.
Alcohol is legal. For most people 21 and up, getting drunk is legal, and some people think it's fun. But drunk driving is illegal. I'm Brian Ramey, Clemson class of 86. At my law firm, we sue drunk drivers. If you injure one of our clients while driving drunk, we'll sue you, and you won't have any fun. So have fun, but don't drink and drive. Questions? Call 300-00-00. For those of you who've never been to Clemson, 00 means 00.
Office on Highway 153 in Powdersville.
M&L Mobile Home Supplies is the largest retail mobile home parts store in the upstate. They're your source for heat pumps, heating and air replacement parts, doors, tubs, showers, vinyl windows, skirting, decks, water heaters, everything you need. And they'll install vapor barriers, insulated floors, ductwork, and heat pumps. For 32 years, the staff at M&L Mobile Home Supplies has served the upstate's mobile home needs. M&L Mobile Home Supplies, 1128 Bypass in Anderson, or online at mnlsupply.com.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
I want to love you. B-Y-T. Pretty young thing. You need some loving. T-O-C. Tender love and care. And I'll take it there.
All right, hour two continues. We'll go back to the phones in a second. 654-ROAR is the number. I've got some things I just cannot justify. I cannot figure out what's happening with the defense. I cannot figure out what happened with the quarterback situation. Although, I will say, I don't know what you're laughing at. I will say, I would like to find any team in America that played a team that's halfway decent, which I think Syracuse is halfway decent, on the road with a backup quarterback. Like, the Packers couldn't beat the Vikings yesterday with a backup quarterback. The Niners couldn't win a game with their backup quarterback yesterday, whoever it was. Like, nobody's winning with backup quarterbacks. Like, changing, when your quarterback is hurt in a game, you're, like, almost guaranteed to lose, even if you're a team like Clemson. If your quarterback gets hurt and the backup has to go in as a backup in the game, you're almost guaranteed to lose. One of my criticisms in the game, and we are going to focus some ire on the defense because, frankly, it's just, it was puzzling how the defense played. If you look at Kelly Bryant and Zaire Cooper's passing lines, they don't look that bad. And Kelly, I want to ask you this. Kelly Bryant, 12 of 17, 116 yards, one time sack. Zaire Cooper, 10 of 14, 88 yards, three time sack. I feel like Zaire Cooper has the stat line of a player that loses in the NFL week 17, 20-6. But you look at his line and you're like, you know, he's managing the game. He's making the smart throws. We're playing field position, blah, 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 blah. We're resting our quarterback. He has the passing line of a backup quarterback. I think that's the issue, that Zaire Cooper looks like a backup quarterback. Hunter Johnson looks like somebody that could start.
Well,
that's the difference that people have.
Let me say this, because I wanted to see Hunter Johnson at some point in the game. That being said, are we, like, this is the what-if game. Are we 100% sure that Hunter Johnson would have gone in there and just blown everybody away?
No.
I mean, yes, he was 5 for 5 against Wake Forest. That's literally what we're going off of. So that's kind of the issue, and I think that's why the coaches really had a struggle, because Zaire Cooper didn't do anything to warrant taking him out. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. He was just kind of, he was a backup. He just kind of was serviceable, is the word I've been using for him. So I think it was a really tough spot for the coaches. And I think, and I hate to, you know, use some coach speak here because I'm vehemently against it, as you know, but they see a lot more than we do. All we saw was Hunter Johnson go 5 for 5 against Wake's 2s and 3s. That's all we saw.
And I'm not talking about with days to prepare as the starter going into the game and starting from start to finish. I'm talking about in the middle of the game, changing from a starting quarterback to a backup quarterback due to injury.
Yes.
That does not go. I'm not talking about Iowa State taking a walk on in Oklahoma. I'm not even talking about Jacob Eason against and from what happened in the first game against App State. I'm not talking about that because they were playing App State. Let's be real. And they were also playing at home, by the way.
Think of the few times under Dabo Swinney where he's had to replace a starter mid-game, starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Anybody. It would be difficult for anybody. But, of course, I think back to Georgia Tech 3 years ago, the last time Clemson lost on the road, when Cole Stout came in. And then maybe you could point to, I mean, I think it happened against Syracuse last year, but that game was fully out of reach, that it didn't really matter. But it's difficult for anybody when you have to go away from a guy that you thought was starting. It's very difficult.
10 for 14, 88 yards, three times sack, no touchdowns. Sounds like something that backups do in the NFL. And the Browns quarterback, whoever it is.
I still would have liked to see Hunter Johnson get some chances because I don't think Zaire Cooper warranted not giving him a chance.
That's the point people have. Why would you not go from Zaire to Hunter Johnson just to see?
Just to see.
Just see. Just see what's... And at some point, it gets too late in the game where you're like, you know, 7 minutes left and now you don't want to put somebody in cold into the game. You'd rather go with a guy who's got a little more rhythm. Then it became unfair. So at some point, there was a... Like, you went on the other side of the bell-shaped curve, you're like, well, now you can't play him.
Well, isn't the bottom line, too, that whatever backup was in there needed to hand the ball off more?
I
mean, that's kind of the bottom line.
Design, I don't know. More on the defense in a second, though. Jeff is up with us, been hanging on. 654-ROAR is the number on the Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Quark, how you doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I'm good. I just have an observation. I keep hearing Kelly keep talking about we can't kick the ball into the end zone, and I don't know if that's a bad thing. I mean, I was looking at the stats, and they didn't have it updated through the Syracuse game. But through the first six games, our average kickoff return was 14 yards. And 14 yards will not get you to the 25-yard line. So if we're starting, if the opponent's starting yardage after a kickoff is before the 25, isn't that better than kicking it into the end zone and automatically giving them it to the 25?
You know what, Jeff? That's an interesting point. I'm looking at the stat sheet right now for the game, and Syracuse, who's not bad as a return team, averaged 19.2 yards per kick return. So there again, if you're kicking it to the 5, you're still starting inside the 25. I totally see that. That's a really good observation.
And generally, most of the time, the ball gets to like the 1 or to the goal line. It just doesn't go 5 yards deep. So if you're starting, if you're going to make them run it out, we're stopping them before they get to the 25. So in my mind, that's a better deal than kicking it into the end zone and automatically giving them to the 25.
That's a fair point, Jeff. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
I like that. I like that point from Jeff. That's a good point and a good observation there about the kick coverage.
It's a fair point. The only pushback I would say is when you're playing teams that might have some more dynamic returners, you don't want to give them a chance. I mean, there's always the risk that someone could break one, and that's why you want touchbacks, I guess, generally.
Syracuse's average start, like average starting field position from on kickoffs, you ready for it in the game? At the 28, at the 25, I think that was a touchback, I believe. Let's see, at the 40, which that was a longer, I think there was a penalty attached to that one too, which we'll get to penalties in a second, the 18 and the 21. So two out of the five times they were inside the 25, and then one time they were at the 25. So a little bit of a mixed bag there with kickoffs with Syracuse. Let's go back to the phones. Dave is up with us next on the Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Dave?
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Great show. I love it. I want to focus a little bit on the defense because while we have the quarterback situation and all of that, and I understand, I think our defense on a team like Syracuse may, 17, 10, somewhere in that ballpark would be what I think our defense should have given up on a Syracuse team. What are y'all's thoughts? And I'll take I'll get off air and listen to the answers.
All right, thanks, Dave. We appreciate it. I thought the defensive performance was a travesty. Syracuse stresses you and stretches you, and the Ishmael kid is a really, really good receiver. Really good receiver. However, there's no reason Syracuse should have 28 first downs, and frankly, there's no reason Syracuse should get 5 first downs via penalty. That's the thing that bothers me the most. And I'll give you a stat on penalties right now. This, if I'm plotting out concerns for this team going forward, more so than the kicking and maybe more than any other thing besides Kelly Bryant's health. In the first 5 games of the season, Clemson was penalized 22 times for 165 yards in the first 5 games. In the last 2 games, 20 penalties for 198 yards. That's an average of 10 and 99.
Woof.
You are not winning games getting penalized that much.
The whole field.
Well, you can win some games like you win Wake Forest with almost 100 yards of penalties, but you had 11 penalties for .119, and you're not winning games on the road getting penalized that much, no matter how much the other team's getting penalized. You're not doing that.
That stat is telling because guess how many turnovers Clemson had on Friday?
How many?
0.
Exactly. Third straight road game, no turnovers.
If you would have told me Clemson would lose a game this year without turning the ball over, I would have said you're crazy.
Also, can I give one more offensive stat? Because you talked about not turning it over. I feel like there are never any 50-50 balls on the road. Would you agree with that? Like, they're not throwing the ball up into crowds.
The longest pass of the game came from Will Spires, did it not?
Yeah.
Longest attempt.
It traveled in the air, yeah.
Passing attempt.
I got a text from a buddy, and I got to go back and look at this. The only pass attempt over 15 yards was to Mylon Richard, and it was incomplete. Remember after 2 games, I apologized to people about Deion Kane. Can I rescind that apology?
Sure.
Where is this guy?
He had 7 catches.
For how many yards?
Like 50-something.
55 yards, 7 for 55 yards.
Well, his long was 10.
I mean, is he going to make a play sometime? Is he going to drop the ball in the back of the
chances?
End zone?
Did he have any chances?
Shouldn't he have caught the ball in the back of the end zone early in the game from Kelly, where Clemson had to settle for a field goal?
Yeah.
He should have caught the ball in the back of the end zone.
But, I mean,
Mike
to
Williams
your point, Quack, they're
it.
Not the deep passing game is just not being – it wasn't utilized against Syracuse. I thought it was utilized a little more against Virginia Tech. He had a ball against Virginia Tech that Kelly Bryant just overthrew him barely. But
right.
It was – I mean, it was perfect.
Right. I mean, is he going to catch a 50-50 ball this year? Is he going to rip the ball out of the... And when are we going to see him step up and be the player that we were told that people lectured me about he was supposed to be before the year? Because right now I'm seeing a guy that through 7 games has caught 2 touchdown passes and isn't even targeted in the red zone because they don't trust him. He has no red zone catches all year. None. 0. Is he going to step up and be a player? Is he going to be a top 5 draft pick that CBS told me he was after the Auburn game? Or is he going to continue to have 4 catches for 12 yards and average 8 yards a catch?
I'm 100% with you. I will say, though, there's a difference between, I think you're seeing the difference between Deshaun and Kelly. And I know I hate to bring up this comparison all the time, but there's just some things that maybe don't show up when you talk about through six games, the completion percentage was the same and all that stuff. I think the Deion Kane production is part, or lack thereof, is something you can kind of point to with when you're missing Deshaun. Because Mike Williams last year, he's Mike Williams. He's incredible. And he goes up and gets 50-50 balls, but also Deshaun Watson was giving him the ball.
I mean, I heard Ben talk about this on the press box this morning, and I understand fully his hesitancy to just call him by name. I'll call him by name because I've been calling him by name. Because this is a guy, if you're a top five draft pick, I'm going to call you by name. If people are telling me you're supposed to be top 10 draft pick in the NFL, then I'm going to call you by name. I'm going to hold you to a higher standard because apparently you're capable of that. Deion Kane with 7 catches ought to have 100 yards. 55 yards, break a tackle once in a while, don't drop the ball in the end zone, don't have a massive drop on third down, help your quarterback out once in a while, once in a blue moon, make a play that's above and beyond the call of duty, quit dropping the ball. I mean, Hunter Renfro's making catches where his hands are like detached from his body going out making a catch.
God, ungodly catches. Unbelievable.
And you got Ray McCloud, Raymond, 4 catches for 23. Are you kidding me? We can't get yards after catch with these guys.
Is this sentence safe? Clemson will not win a national title if Hunter Renfro is their leading receiver.
I think you can, but I don't think you have. You haven't in the last 2 years.
Hunter Renfro has his role. He does his role perfectly. He should not be your leading receiver.
But Deion Kane's better than this. But Deion Kane was the third best receiver in the game. You let a guy named Irvin Phillips outshine you. 4 for 94 in a touchdown. I know the guy's running wide open. Steve Ishmael made better plays than Deion Kane. Deion Kane going to be the best receiver on the field any game this year? Has he been the best receiver on the field any game this year?
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I'm telling you, those two, Deion Kane and Ray McCloud, we were told before the year, they've stepped up. They're leaders on this team. Where's Deion Kane's leadership when the quarterback's struggling? Where's Deion Kane when he's got to make a play? When the spotlight is on him, how many plays in his career has Deion Kane made in 3 years?
Louisville.
He was suspended as a freshman.
That's the one.
He made the one play against Louisville.
Well, he had two touchdowns.
He had two touchdowns. One of those was when Clemson was already up 20, right? They were already up.
Yeah, but you needed every single one of those points because Louisville did come back.
I'm just telling you. Make the play in the back of the end zone. You're the best receiver on the team. Mike Williams was before you. New Hopkins was before you. Martavis Bryant was before you. Sammy Watkins was before you. All those guys, the best receivers on the team, they made the quarterback better. Name one time Deion Kane made the quarterback better all year. One time. I'll wait. Short break. We'll go back to the phones after this.
Hey, Clemson fans. Join Mickey Plyler live at Chick-fil-A of Clemson on Tiger Boulevard this Friday from 6 until 9. Get your favorite Chick-fil-A breakfast and stop by and listen to Mickey's update analysis of college football at Chick-fil-A on Tiger Boulevard in Clemson.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your national champion Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. A tough weekend for Clemson football fans, losing Friday night the 13th at Syracuse, 27-24. Clemson now falls to 1-1-1 in games played on Friday the 13th. Clemson down Presbyterian 13-0 on Friday the October the 13th, 1922. Also, it tied George Washington on Friday, October the 13th, 1933. Now, Travis Etienne scored on a 52-yard touchdown run at Syracuse. It was his fourth run of 50 yards or more this year. Three of those 50-yard runs have gone for touchdowns. And entering Saturday's play, Etienne was fourth in the nation in runs of 50 yards or more. And his four 50-yard runs are the most by a Clemson player since at least 2009. Andre Ellington had three in both 2010 and 2011. Deion Kane has now caught a pass in 30 consecutive games. Hunter Renfrow has extended his streak now to 21 consecutive games. Ray-Ray McCloud has now caught a pass in 23 of the last 24 games. Cleveland Farrell had himself an outstanding game. 3.5 sacks, 5.5 tackles for a loss against Syracuse, just a half sack off the single game Clemson record. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
Surgery Center at Pelham, offering a lower cost option to avoid a stay in the hospital and the capability to go home the same day. Surgery Center at Pelham, for athletes and active people, online at newkneereplacement.com.
Vehicles repairs can be a painful experience, but don't let them be. The experts at My Garage are here to treat your vehicle like the major investment it is. Call today to make your appointment at 633-5800 or visit us at 551 Old Greenville Highway in Clemson.
It's always a great time to buy from George Coleman Ford, where cars cost less and travelers rest. Hit the road in a 2017 Mustang V6 Coupe with 6-speed manual transmission. Sale priced at just $22,599 plus tax and tag. And remember, there are never any dealer fees at George Coleman Ford. Serving you for over 85 years and four generations. George Coleman Ford, the ride of a lifetime.
Offer expires October 31st. Must finance with Ford Motor Credit.
I'm Dabo Sweeney. For years, you've listened to me talk about the good people and superior service at Blue Ridge Security Solutions. Now I have some really exciting news. They have merged with Priority One Security, another local company with the same standard of excellence in residential, commercial, and industrial security. The same people are still in place making sure that your property is protected around the clock no matter where you are. Priority One Security. Take it from me.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
Right now, Easley Lawn and Garden is offering an incredible 20% off select remaining Husqvarna MZ, PZ, and PZT Pro Series zero-turn mowers. For the big commercial jobs or the homeowner with a large piece of land, the Husqvarna MZ, PZ, and PZT Pro Series is ideal for your lawn mowing jobs. For a limited time, you get 20% off as well as 0% interest financing with approved credit. Husqvarna MZ, PZ, and PZT Mowers and Easley Lawn and Garden have teamed up to provide you with this offer while supplies last on select Husqvarna Pro Series mowers. 20% off, available 0% financing with approved credit. In-store Husqvarna MZ, PZ, and PZT zero-turn mowers. Easley Lawn and Garden, your platinum Husqvarna dealer, 312 South Pendleton Street in Easley, or 859-1678. Easley Lawn and Garden is veteran-owned and family-operated.
Save 20% off while supplies last. 0% financing available with approved credit.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. You will need to change your card to a federally approved Real ID to use it for air travel and access to federal facilities. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV, driving privileges in good standing, and a regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Gets the crowd involved, doesn't it?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. And cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
Understand I'm being hard on Deion right now. I understand that, and people have pointed out, you know, like that one time where he made a big play. Listen, I get it. I understand it. He's not been a nobody for his whole career. I'm just saying, like, this is the time where he's got to make his quarterbacks better. If he's going to take the next step, I mean, that sound you hear is his draft stock plummeting because nobody's seen him in five games. Nobody's noticed him since Auburn. Where's the guy been? If he was making all the plays that he could make, then you start putting blame on the quarterbacks who are not NFL guys. If Deion Kane's a first-round pick, and apparently he is, then you got to catch the ball when it's thrown to you. Like Nuke Hopkins, not being targeted quite as much right now because guys are bracketing him. So what is Deshaun Watson doing? He's throwing it to other guys. And what's Nuke doing? He's catching the ball for a touchdown when they throw it to him. Now you got to catch the ball when it's thrown to you if you're not getting the opportunities. And you got to make a play that's bigger than the play, if that makes sense.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
I mean, part of it is because whenever one first-round NFL draft pick leaves, I think we just assume that the guy replacing him in that specific wide receiver slot is going to be just as good. It is tough to live up to Mike Williams, Sammy Watkins, Nuke Hopkins, even Martavis Bryant. Is part of it just that, I mean, Deion Kane maybe isn't on that level? Or, Kwok, think about this. Sammy and Nuke play with Taj Boyd and Martavis Bryant.
Yeah.
Mike Williams played with Deshaun Watson. They're playing with really good passing quarterbacks. I think you have to take into account that part of Kane's struggles are that he doesn't have the luxury of playing with a Deshaun or a Taj.
Yes.
He has less opportunities.
That's all true.
But I still see your point.
I don't hold Deion accountable for when he gets overthrown or underthrown or when the quarterback misses him or whatever. I would just ask the question, has he made the plays that as when we're told that he is capable, has he made those type of plays? Or is he just making the plays that the offense gives him? I feel like he's doing what the play allows. That's what I'm saying.
I hear you. All right, before we get to the phones, I do want to tell you guys that this hour of Out of Bounds is brought to you by my good friend, Janet Candler. Janet Candler Properties. She is a new realtor in the area. If you're looking for a house in the upstate, Greenville, Spartanburg, Clemson, Anderson, really any of that area of the upstate between Spartanburg and Clemson, give her a call, 864-679-5619. She's personable. She cares about your well-being. She does it the right way. She started relatively recently. She started since May. She's had 8 closings since May. 8 closings. That's just crazy. That's unprecedented pace. She's putting the real back in real estate. Call her, 864-679-5619. Visit her on Facebook, Jana Candler Properties. She looks forward to helping you and helping the upstate feel like home.
Let's go back to the phones. Ed is up with us first in this segment. What's up, Ed?
Good afternoon. How are y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Yeah, I called in to talk about the Cooper and Johnson situation, but let me address Deion Kane for just one second. You know, you're right. He does need to step up. But as you kind of alluded to just a second ago, the quarterback's also got to help him out, too.
That's true.
I mean, when was the last time you saw a Clemson wide receiver get open as many times as he had and have the ball sail 5 yards over his head? I mean, it seems like every time he gets open deep, with the exception of the first game against Kent State, every time he gets open deep, the ball is flying 5 yards over his head. In the Virginia Tech game, it was falling out of the end zone. So yeah, he does need to step up. But the quarterback's got to help him out a little bit, too. Brings me to my original point. I think the reason so many people are upset that Cooper is in over Johnson right now is because, yeah, if you just look at the stat sheet, the numbers look pretty good. But if you actually watch the game, I mean, he doesn't look comfortable out there. I'm talking about Zaire Cooper. You know, in the game against Wake Forest, he goes in first. He's got DeAndre Overton open for about a 10-15-yard gain. He throws it in the ground at his feet. The next drive, he's got Deion Kane, you know, again, by a pass to Dolan, defensive back, wide open for a touchdown, and he underthrows him by like 5 yards.
Yep.
In the game against Syracuse, you know, he had 2 or 3 terrible overthrows. And then if Hunter Renfrow doesn't have fly paper for hands, he's got a couple more incompletions. It's just, you know, Renfrow saved him on a couple of them. Whereas Johnson, even though it's been a very small sample size, he seems to be extremely accurate with his passing. Although we haven't seen him yet, from what we're told, he's as good a runner as Deshaun Watson was. So I think that's where the frustration is. And then you hear the coaches, well, you know, Cooper is the second guy up, so that's who we're going with. Well, didn't we see that with Cole Stout and Deshaun Watson, and how did that work out? That's a good thing and it's a bad thing, but this coaching staff seems to be loyal to a fault. It's almost, if you're the next guy up, you're going to have to prove you can't do it rather than the guy behind them proving they can do it. And that's all I've got. Y'all have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Ed. We appreciate the phone call. I understand that. Look, it's a little bit tricky because of the way that Dabo, Tony Elliott, and Jeff Scott all addressed it after the game. When they talked about Zarek being the backup, I don't care who you are, you can pull the quotes, you can check me on this. Sanders, you got to fact check me on this one because you've seen the quotes too. You know this. The quotes all have the caveat. With everything we've seen from January until now, and that's why I say the most important thing in some of the decision making was not what do we have to do to win this game right now above all else. The most important thing in the decision making on who was on the field after Kelly Bryant was everything from January until now. Because there was really nothing that Zeri Cooper was doing that made you think, gosh, I just don't see why you wouldn't put in another guy. Zeri Cooper, 10 of 14 for 88 is not the worst thing in the world. He wasn't just throwing the ball to the other team, Cole Stout, 2014. He wasn't just throwing two pick sixes to the other team, right? I mean, that Georgia Tech game was blown wide open by the quarterback throwing the ball to the other team running the other
way. You get a pick
six.
You get a pick
Everybody's
six.
Giving him out like Oprah. It wasn't that
we
bad.
We can laugh now.
But they didn't say this week in practice, Zeri was the best guy. They didn't say from what we've seen in games, Zeri was the best guy. They said with everything we've seen from January until now, Zeri is the best guy behind Kelly Bryant. That is something that raises a red, not even a red flag. It just raises a flag for me. It's something I noticed because that tells me that this week of practice, one of the most important thing, it did not supersede January until now. What happened in the last time they were in a game didn't supersede January till now. Dabo and his coaching staff wanted this game to be about January till now, not the moment. That's the point.
I don't know if I want to say this, but heck, let's just do it. Do you think part of that is because deep down, the coaching staff did not believe Syracuse could beat them?
I really believe that this game was coached in a way that said, in a 60-minute game, we are going to wear them down.
Yeah.
That's what I think they did.
I mean, honestly, is a logical deduction, right? I mean, you think Syracuse can't beat Clemson. I mean, that's very logical. But, and I think part of this, too, that we are not talking about, and I know that most people will just hear this as an excuse, but I think you have to say it. Syracuse played the best game they've played under Dino Babers.
Other than the penalties, they did.
Yes, and they happened to play it at the exact right time, in the exact right week, against, you know, in the exact right situation. That's just how it worked out, and it's college football, and that happens.
On the Health There text line, 961-566, text from the 803 says, what if Hunter Johnson is just a gamer? At the end of the day, does it matter more what you're doing in the game or what you do in practice? That's what I say. If Hunter Johnson's a gamer, then you could justify putting him in a game. I'm just telling you, this is what's happened.
Right, and you're not asking
to
completely start Hunter over Zeri. You're just saying, can we see a little bit?
What I'm saying is the same philosophy that won Clemson a national championship may have costed a game against Syracuse. Because what happens every day from January until now is the reason that a backup quarterback that was probably not going to lead you on a game-winning drive was in there as opposed to the other guy. We got about 2 minutes left. Lindsay in Lawrence is up with us next on the Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Lindsay?
Not much. Well, I mean, no loss is good, but I honestly feel like if Clemson had to lose a game, this was the best week because it was against a lesser opponent, so losing this game will get them refocused, but it also keeps them in control of their own destiny, as opposed to losing, like, to NC State. So they can go into NC State and beat them. They will still go to the ACC championship if they don't lose another game, obviously. So I think this was not a bad loss. It's get them refocused and ready for the rest of the season. But yes, we lost to Syracuse, but at the end of the day, at least it wasn't the Citadel.
That's true, Lindsay. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. That's very true. That's a good point. Now, I mean, look, I don't want to sound overly critical when I'm just pointing out facts here that, first of all, to Lindsay's point, yes, you still control your own destiny. Everything's in front of you. I just said if you click wins out on Clemson and the 538 website, there's a 97% chance that Clemson makes the playoff.
Now, the caveat is if Syracuse wins out, then you don't control your own destiny.
I'm not even going to spend time on Lindsay's point, FPI.
It's a great point because I don't want to say it's better than losing NC State, but you do still control your own destiny.
Luckily, we're in a Priority One Security Studios where security is their first priority. Top 25 national security provider. It's locally owned and operated, best of both worlds. Blue Ridge and Priority One merged. They smacked it together and made a doubly awesome security provider. Priority One Security sponsors our studios, which is good today because we need to feel secure with some of the stuff that we're saying. Unbelievable. Stay with us. Hour 2 is done. Hour 3, more your phone calls on Northern Communication phone lines next.